Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Brittany Irby. I'm a communications specialist in the Management Bureau, Office of Acquisition and Assistance, or MOAA, at USAID. We will be recording the call today and posting it on our Business Forecast website by the end of the day, as well as a transcript of this call and a list of all the questions we've received as part of our quarterly Business Forecast outreach. You'll hear from a number of folks on the call today. They are Mark Walther, Director of MOAA, Randy Tiff, Chief Acquisition and Assistance Policy Officer of MOAA, Mauricio Vera, Director of USAID's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. If you're new to joining us for a Business Forecast call, rather than going through all the individual activities and questions that we've received, we like to just provide some general updates on what's happening at USAID. We will be answering some of the general questions we received. We appreciate everyone's continued interest in our Business Forecast. We are tracking a few questions that remain unanswered. Our contracting officials stationed around the world are responding to a few remaining questions. Our plan is to post all of the answers later today. We'll be sending out an email through our email distribution list, as well as notifying folks on Twitter at our Twitter handle, which is at USAIDBizOps. I would like to turn over the call now to Mark Walther, USAID's Director of Office, Director of the Office of Acquisition and Assistance. Mark?
Thanks, Brittany. Appreciate it. And thanks to everyone currently on the line or listening to the recording afterwards for your continued engagement with USAID. We truly value the opportunity to collaborate with each of you, and it's only through the high standard of quality results that you consistently achieve that we are able to uphold our values and missions as an agency. First, I'd just like to take a few moments to begin with remarks concerning COVID-19, the coronavirus. We have very much appreciated the inquiries which we have received from implementing partners and the major partner associations. We have also appreciated the knowledge sharing the associations and other federal agencies such as OMB and the Civilian Agency Acquisition Council, as different agencies have issued guidance or shared examples. We want you to be aware that your health and safety are our utmost priority to us. It has clearly been a difficult operating environment given the fluid nature of events over the last few weeks. Yesterday afternoon, I welcomed the ability to share guidance to the agency staff and our partners. I'd like to briefly highlight a few points from that guidance. Implementing partners must continue to consult with their CORs and AORs and COs and AOs, the contracting officer representatives, agreement officer representatives, the contracting officers and agreement officers, on any new work or revisions to work plans to ensure written authorizations to do so. The USAID administrator is considering an expedited procedures package for infectious disease outbreaks to respond to this emergency and other related ones. If there is a need to redirect implementing partners to respond to the epidemic, the cognizant USAID CO or AO will contact them. If partners anticipate or are experiencing disruptions to the implementation of USAID-funded program, whether because of health safety issues, quarantine actions, travel restrictions, or logistical concerns, they should inform their CORs and AORs, will then consult with the cognizant COs and AOs and provide guidance. In the event any USAID implementing partner, whether under a contract, cooperative agreement, or grant, needs to modify or suspend implementation of a previously agreed-to work plan, it must first notify the CORE and AOR, who in turn will coordinate with the cognizant CO and AO for approval. USAID understands that as a result of the outbreak, some of our implementing partners might find themselves incurring additional implementation costs, not originally envisioned, principally related to the safety measures and the protection of staff. USAID will consider any additional proposed costs on a case-by-case basis, provided that such costs are allowable, allocable, and reasonable. Before incurring any additional costs related to COVID-19, partners must consult their AORs and CORs and AOs and COs for approval when required. Please note that these costs are subject to audit. All costs, including incurred costs, that not exceed the obligated amount of the award. Please also note at this time, reasonable costs in relation to safety measures are generally allowable. Please note that decisions about whether to require contractors to depart a country will be made on a case-by-case basis. I'd like to add an additional note for institutional support contractors, those contractors that provide support in USAID office buildings and missions. Please take the opportunity to review your firm's policies related to telework as well as the requirements associated with telework training and agreements in USAID space. Please connect with your Cognizant Core and CO to ensure telework abilities and understanding are in accordance with your contract and agency policies so that we're all on the same page in regard to these abilities and requirements should they be needed. Finally, the most recent question we have received from implementing partners concerns the Fly America Act and the relaxation or flexibilities thereof. We are engaged with the agency's task force on this question and hope to have news shortly. If you have additional questions related to specific awards with USAID, you should direct them to the relevant contracting or agreement officer. If they're more general questions, we ask that you send them to the email address that has been shared, tf2020-covid19@usaid.gov. So again, I thank you for all your diligence in regard to this particular situation. Next week, we'll be hosting a call with partners to address additional questions related to the COVID-19 guidance. Once we get the date and the time, we will notify everyone through our email distribution list and through our partner association. Now I'd like to take the opportunity to turn to our overall acquisition and assistance highlights, our A&A highlights. And I would like to take a moment to provide several updates since our last business forecast call on December 5th, 2019. First, I'm very excited and proud to announce that the 2019 progress report is now available on USAID.gov site under the Resources for Partners section. A link will be provided in the transcript. Highlights of this report include $17.2 billion in acquisition and assistance awards in 2019. Acquisitions award accounted for over 30% of the total dollars obligated, while cooperative agreements for approximately 26%, and grants accounted for the remaining 42%. From March 3rd through 4th, 2020, the Bureau for Management's Office of Overseas Support Operations, in collaboration with the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, OSABU, held the second overseas small business conference in Frankfurt, Germany, which we are all very much excited to attend and participate in. The conference brought together over 250 U.S. small businesses and provided an opportunity to network with each other, as well as 60-plus USAID headquarters and mission staff. Additional agency representatives included the Department of State, U.S. Commerce Department, in the U.S. Minority Business Development Agency, and the General Services Administration's Office of Small Business Utilization. And I'm glad that Mauricio is here today with us, and he'll be sharing additional reflections on this event and others related to U.S. small businesses in just a few minutes. We continue to actively recruit contracting and agreement officers here at USAID. We have a job announcement currently on USA Jobs for new foreign service contracting officers. We're looking to hire up to 40 new foreign service COs. We're also looking to establish 3 senior regional advisors to support the A&A function worldwide. In Washington, we have a staff in the onboarding process, and we are also seeking to fill 19 additional vacancies here at headquarters. With regards to the implementation of the acquisition and assistance strategy and the EPPR recommendations, we have a number of updates that I'm pleased to share. We are preparing a new draft toolkit for co-creation as well as new guidance for the use of broad agency announcements. We're also drafting guidance on phased two-step acquisitions, also known as voluntary and mandatory downselect. We're also looking at program income, seeking how we can eliminate the inability to use under assistance awards for for-profits through exceptions, deviations, and rulemaking. In addition, we are reviewing grants under contracts or GUCs to see how they can be better used in this capacity. Now I'm going to turn it over to Randy to highlight further on the EPPR-related activities.
Thank you, Mark. So it's a real pleasure to join you all this morning, and I wish you all the best in the work you're doing to address the coronavirus. So as many of you already know, the USAID Acquisition and Assistance Strategy issued in December 2018 called for a new partnerships initiative to help operationalize the journey to self-reliance. NPI will multiply USAID's development impact by elevating local leadership, fostering creativity and innovation, and mobilizing resources across the agency's programs. We have now accomplished or made significant progress on all of the strategic shifts highlighted under the first two guiding principles of the ANA strategy. One, diversifying our partner base, and two, changing how we partner. Let me highlight an important shift and mention progress on a few of the other strategic shifts. Here's the highlight. We have shifted local partner engagement to focus on capacity strengthening. As an agency, we are now measuring strengthened local capacity rather than percentage of program funds obligated to local organizations. That was the metric under local solutions in the past. So how did we bring this about? After the administrator approved plans to change our local engagement success metric last summer, we developed options, then moved to establish the new global indicator, Capacity Building for Local Development, or CBLD9, creating a common standard for all missions in measuring local partners' organizational performance. In looking closely at the piloting of this indicator by the Bureau for Food Security over the last year or two, the EPPR team realized that its benefit is to keep it simple by applying several criteria as a lens to measure strengthened organizational capacity, fitting any mission's unique approach or tools to build local capacity. In addition, we had defined local partners more broadly and strategically by expanding the definition with the launch of NPI last spring to include locally established partners, or LEPs. LEPs are U.S. or international organizations that meet the definition for having locally led operations. As long-term contributors to a partner country's journey to self-reliance, enabling those countries to lead in their own development, LEPs are also a target for USAID programs that build local capacity. In fulfilling this strategic shift on capacity strengthening, we hit an important milestone last week. Almost 70 missions met the administrator's deadline to set baselines and targets for this new metric. So the missions have institutionalized this shift in measuring effective local engagement. We are also developing a USAID capacity strengthening policy. In the future, USAID will expect more local capacity building more often in more programs across the agency. Just briefly, here are other progress reports on the other ANA strategy shifts that I mentioned. All missions are developing NPI action plans. The ANA strategy encourages mission-driven and context-based approaches to ANA planning for effective partnerships. Asking missions for NPI action plans with country-level targets is a better approach, we think, than setting goals from Washington. The NPI action plans are operationalizing these ANA strategic shifts. In addition to setting the capacity building targets, we have missions setting targets to increase collaboration and co-creation to change the dynamics of partnership. Collaborative approaches, as defined in the ANA strategy, will mean lower barriers to entry, more dynamic consortia and award types, and we hope more innovative and effective programs. And as Mark said, EPPR is creating a new toolkit emphasizing the use of targeted or tailored co-creation. Third, missions are setting context-driven targets for engaging new and underutilized partners. This started with country development cooperation strategies, where missions began looking at the partnering landscape. And now they get more specific with the NPI action plans that map out the path to engage long-term strategic in-country partners. And finally, NPI action plans ask missions to consider a more strategic use of subawards from our traditional partners to empower new and local partners, as the administrator says, to lead in their own development. NPI promotes a facilitative partnership model. We want USAID's experienced partners to get creative with the design of new models that empower local actors and partner countries. The pilot round of 14 mission action plans were due at the end of February, and there is a cross-agency team in the process of reviewing them now. Then we'll improve and streamline the new guidance for all USAID missions to complete their NPI plans by May 2020. In summary, these shifts are about incentivizing and strengthening accountability, we hope, to achieve new and better ANA approaches to partnership and achieving development outcomes. And now I'll hand over to Mauricio Vera.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning, everyone. We always appreciate the opportunity to participate in the business forecast calls. As many of you know, over the past couple of years in the Small Business Office, we've primarily been focused on expanding our Golden program overseas and making sure that there are additional opportunities for small businesses, that's U.S. small businesses, interested in supporting our overseas missions. To make this happen, we recognize that we need to use a three-pronged approach, and that involves outreach, training, and setting individual small business goals for the missions. Mark mentioned briefly earlier about the second overseas small business conference that we held last week in Frankfurt, Germany. I hope that many of you that are listening this morning attended it. It was, by all stretches of the imagination, it was a huge success. The survey comments indicate that the two-day event just brought a lot of very interesting information and provided some excellent networking opportunities for the attendees. Before I go any further, I want to provide my own thanks and gratitude to members of the Planning Committee, including Sunil Xavier and his team from the Bureau for Management's Office of Support Operations in Frankfurt, who also hosted the event. Of course, Mark Walter and his amazing team here from the Management Bureau's Office of Acquisition and Assistance, and we also had significant assistance from the Ukraine mission, primarily Maria Televantos there. And, of course, my own team in OSDBU. I think it was truly a collaborative effort, and we certainly owe our success to everyone's support and participation. We also owe a significant amount of success to the contracting and technical officials who participated in that conference. The day before the conference opened, Mark Walter joined our team in conducting small business program training for 53 contracting officers and contracting officer representatives representing more than 30 missions from the Middle East, from Eastern Europe and Eurasia and Africa. Those USAID officials remained to serve as presenters for conference workshops and panel discussions and to support the vendor exhibit hall. We've got a lot of great feedback, not only from the 150 small business representatives, but also from the 60-plus USAID colleagues who were very impressed with the capabilities and qualifications of the small business attendees. I will also add that we had extensive discussions over the 2 days on the A&A strategy, on EPPR, on the New Partners Initiative, primarily focusing on how small businesses can participate in helping missions help partner countries achieve the journey to self-reliance. So I think there was a lot of very interesting information, and the attendees appreciated some of the insights that were discussed. Another exciting development for this fiscal year is that we're negotiating small business goals for 57 missions that have averaged more than $5 million in contract obligations over the past 3 years. The list of participating missions is too long for me to list, but we plan to have that information as well as the small business accomplishments of the missions that have been participating in the Golden program since its inception in 2018 on our website by the end of next week. Like other years, our office continues to plan additional small business outreach activities. However, we are obviously being very sensitive to the current coronavirus outbreak and are obviously reassessing those plans. So be forewarned that what I'm about to share with you may very well change. Our near-term outreach plans for now include two key events. First, in our continuing efforts to expand our outreach outside of the Washington, D.C. metro area, we are scheduled to partner with the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce to host a West Coast women-owned small business outreach activity on April 21st, 2020 in Los Angeles. The Women's Chamber is scheduled to host a much larger event the following day at the same location that will include other federal agencies. You can visit the U.S. Women's Chamber website for details or contact Tanisha Alston on my staff for updates on these activities. Secondly, our 13th annual USAID Small Business Conference is tentatively scheduled for June 10th at the JW Marriott in Washington, D.C., same location as last year. For now, we are planning a similar format as in past years. In addition to informative sessions and networking opportunities, the event will include lunch with the leaders, an awards presentation to recognize the small and large businesses of the year, also internal awards for contracting officers of the year, both Washington and Mission, and contracting officer representatives of the year, Washington and Mission. Also Mission and Washington Bureau of the Year. The event, as many of you who may have attended in the past know, this event draws Washington-based leadership, acquisition, and technical officials and serves as an excellent networking opportunity for the conference participants. This is always an extremely popular event, so please stay engaged with us to determine how we plan to move forward given the current environment. Our plans now are to open registration in early May 2020. Please look for that information on datasam.gov. Thanks again to Mark and team for the opportunity to present our update and for your continuing support of our small business initiatives. I'll now turn it back over to Brittany.
Great. Thanks, Mauricio. Thanks, everyone, for those remarks. And now we'd like to take some time to answer some sample questions submitted to the business forecast. The first one is directed towards Randy regarding engaging with the new partnership initiative. Randy, other than continuing to monitor the USAID business forecast and grants.gov for specific opportunities, does USAID have any suggestions for potential new partner organizations on how best to engage in the new partnership initiative?
Thank you, Brittany. So I would first encourage prospective partners not to overlook the business forecast. Currently, the E3 Bureau is planning activities in the area of the three areas of youth engagement, women's empowerment, and higher education, where NPI approaches will be used. So that should open up opportunities either for direct awards or sub-awards for new and underutilized partners. If your organization meets the criteria for new or underutilized, you've received less than $25 million over the past 5 years from USAID, your organization may want to start planning to apply or looking for an experienced partner to work with as a sub. Plus, I would encourage all prospective partners to contact the USAID Partnership Incubator for help. And the incubator can help is set up to help prospective partners assess their readiness for partnering with USAID. I believe there will be contact information for the NPI incubator, the partnerships incubator, posted today with the transcript.
Great. Thanks for that, Randy. Mark, the next question is for you regarding last updated dates for the business forecast. USAID Business Forecast website occasionally will indicate updates to a posting without making any changes. Would USAID please communicate clarifications if and when updates are made to the forecast without any change to content?
Thanks, Brittany. First, I'd just like to clarify that the overall acquisition and assistance A&A planning tool includes significantly more information than what is included on the business forecast, as it is used by all missions and operating units to manage awards. When you see an updated, last updated date in the forecast, but do not see a change in the forecast information itself, this means that a field in the A&A plan, as opposed to the forecast, and was not included in the forecast, has been updated. So just to be mindful then, not all the times when you see last updated date will necessarily mean that there was a change in the forecast itself, but a broader change in the A&A plan, which is not relevant to the forecast. We'll try to get greater clarity in that area. I just wanted to highlight that difference.
Thanks, Mark. Randy, this question is for you again for the new partnership initiative. Could USAID please provide information on the new partnership initiative designation? For activities designated as new partnership initiative, could established implementing partners be included as subs or leads with new partners?
Thank you, Brittany. So yes, depending upon the NPI partnership modality that is being used, especially modality number 3 for any of you who have seen an NPI solicitation, an established implementing partner, established or experienced USAID partner, could certainly be the lead organization with new and underutilized partners as subs. Under this modality, NPI requires that the prime partner subaward at least half, so between 50 and 75%, depending on the type of partnership that's envisioned, so at least half of the total award amount to new and underutilized partners. We have several good examples of these kinds of partnerships already that are delivering both empowered new and local partners as well as program results.
Great. Thanks, Randy. This question is regarding posting on Business Forecast and is for Mark. Does USAID provide missions with guidance on when to place opportunities on the forecast? There have been several occasions where opportunities were updated on the forecast only days before the solicitations were posted.
Thanks, Brittany. Our goal is to provide information to our partners as soon as possible. It's important to note that we are always trying to balance the accuracy and timeliness of the forecast. The earlier we post activities in the forecast, sometimes the more uncertain we are of specific details. We understand that when activities change in the forecast, this also creates challenges for our partners. We do not have a set guidelines as to when an activity should be posted on the forecast, but we encourage staff to post information on the business forecast as soon as possible, and we'll continue to do so. Ideally, as a matter of practice, you know, we'd love to get things on the forecast 3 to 6 months in advance. However, the details of that information on all the elements related to that procurement, acquisition, or assistance typically may not be known at that time, and therefore will need to be updated further as we go forward.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Questions regarding small business utilization. What efforts are being undertaken this quarter to increase subcontracting goals to meet OSDBU's targets for awards to small businesses, OSDBU?
Thanks, Brittany. So every year we negotiate our goals with the Small Business Administration, and the agency's fiscal year 2020 prime small business goal is 12%, and the subcontracting goal is 16%. OSDBU, in coordination with contracting officials, reviews subcontracting plan submissions with a focus on goal achievement throughout the year. We continue to train our staff and ensure sets realistic plans that may lead to an increase in subcontracting obligations to small businesses.
Great, thanks, Mauricio. Mark, this question is for you regarding best-in-class and spend under management. Will or has USAID received best-in-class or BIC and spend under management or SUM goals for FY 2020? If so, will the agency share its percentages or targets with implementers?
Sure, thanks, Brittany. The fiscal year 20 category management targets for USAID for spend under management is $3.8 billion, and for best in class is $0.2 billion. Category management dashboard and analytics containing current information for USAID are available for public viewing at the website that will be included in the transcript. Please note that Deb Broderick is our lead and champion in category management. She always welcomes opportunities to hear from the community. She was at the Small Business Outreach event and did a session on category management and welcomes any questions specifically in that area.
Great. Thanks, Mark. This next question is for Mauricio regarding Mission Small Business Goal Program. Does USAID intend to expand its Small Business Goal Program to additional missions in FY 2020? If so, can USAID share the names of the additional missions?
Sure. Thanks, Brittany. In fiscal year 2018, USAID launched the Mission Small Business Goal and Program with 16 pilot missions. The following year, we added an additional 15 missions to the program. The agency, of course, has not wavered from its commitment to fully implement this program by fiscal year 2020, this current year. The goals are negotiated and applied to each mission that has an average of $5 million in contract obligations, as evidenced by the previous 3 years. As I mentioned earlier, there's approximately 57 missions that now have acquisition obligations over $5 million, and OSDBU is conducting final discussions with several of these missions. We anticipate posting the complete list on the USAID OSDBU website by March 27, 2020.
Great. Thanks, Mauricio. And the last question we'll address on the call is for Mark regarding performance work statements. We are seeing an increase in the use of performance work statements. Could USAID clarify what factors are considered when requesting offers to develop a PWS over a technical approach? Could USAID provide information on how the agency is developing a standardized use of the PWS format in procurements and evaluation guidelines for PWS-based proposals?
Thanks again, Brittany. There are numerous sources available on PWS, and the most important takeaway is that a PWS has two mandatory features, which are, one, the work is stated in terms of outcomes or results rather than methods of performance, and two, measurable performance standards and a method of assessing contractor performance against those standards. The community has raised this issue in other forums as well. I am reaching out again to contracting officers to update different examples in this space so that we can take a further leadership review here. In the meantime, the contracting officer of the PWS would be able to provide clear and consistent instructions regarding the various requirements to include in language. We have a link for one source to get started with. Obviously, if an RFP is unclear or inconsistent regarding PWS instructions, offers are to submit questions in accordance with the RFP. Each RFP provides unique proposal instructions and questions related to clarity and inconsistencies are to be addressed by the issuing contracting officers. Again, in the meantime, please contact the particular contracting cognizant officer for the particular solicitation. But as an office, we are reaching out to try to get more information in this space on best practices and take a review of that.
Great. Thank you, Mark. That concludes our business forecast call. I'd like to take a minute to thank Mark, Randy, and Mauricio again for your comments. As a reminder, we will be posting the transcript of the call as well as the recording later today and notifying participants via our email distribution list as well as posting on social media on our Twitter handle at USA BizOps. Thank you again.